A new law passed the House yesterday that allows people to carry rifles, handguns, and assault weapons into national parks as long as it's consistent with state laws. Now, lawmakers who backed the bill say it defends the Second Amendment. One group representing national park rangers is against it. Scott McElvin is the president of the Association of National Park Rangers and a retired chief ranger, and he joins us now live to talk about it. Sir, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and happy Transparency Day.
Happy Transparency Day.
Yes, we're
day
all
to
celebrating.
So, what does this bill allow for?
Well, just as you described it, it's pretty simple. It allows people to do whatever they do in their home state for that portion of the park that's in that state. They can do the same thing with guns in the park that they can outside the park.
And I know that park rangers, I read some quotes saying that park rangers are concerned about this. Give us some background. Why is this so concerning?
Well, first of all, this is a regulation that's been in place in the same form that the regulation that this law is kind of doing away with has been in place in some form for about 100 years now. So it's not something that just happened here in the last few years that someone felt that they needed to overturn because it was unjust all of a sudden. But secondly, we're concerned, my group, the Association of National Park Rangers, is concerned about the effects that this can have, especially on wildlife in parks. The parks, there are 390 units of the national park system. Some of them very much revolve around wildlife and wildlife viewing, like Yellowstone, like Great Smoky Mountains, like Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota. So some of those parks, that's really an important reason people come, is to see wildlife. And we're concerned that having readily available, accessible, loaded firearms will increase the opportunistic shooting of animals by people who didn't come to the park that day to shoot an animal, but they saw this trophy animal that they couldn't resist, or they saw an animal that in their worldview doesn't have any business existing anywhere, like a snake or a coyote or a prairie dog or one of those class of animals that some folks just believe you shoot on sight no matter what. Now, the fact that they've got this loaded weapon readily accessible makes that decision easier to make than if you have to think about it for a minute, get your weapon out of the trunk of your car or uncase it and load it, and the animal's probably moved on by then anyway. So that split second decision, which isn't a good decision, it still won't be legal to do that. It's not legal now, won't be legal after the law is signed by the president, but it makes the decision easier for folks to make.
What sort of pressure is this going to put on park rangers? And what I mean by that is it possible for the parks then to create their own rules saying that, okay, you can carry a gun, but it has to be an unloaded weapon? I mean, are we seeing a possibility of more rules and regulations coming out because of this?
The way that Senator Coburn has written this, I don't see how that could happen. His law talks about possession of weapons has to be by state law.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever the state law says, you'd have to go by that. A regulation can never a federal regulation can never outweigh a federal law.
Right.
So as long as this law is in place, it would prevent the Park Service from doing anything about possession of weapons other than what state law says.
Okay, fair enough. So then then it will definitely put pressure on park rangers. It must, because now you're not just dealing with the public and with the animals, you're dealing with people who may be armed.
Absolutely, although the other side argues that, bad guys already have guns and they're not going to pay any attention to rules and regulations anyway, and that's true. We run into folks with guns in parks now and have for the last 100 years, and, we're trained to deal with that. But you might have folks now that think they're doing something right with a weapon when, in fact, they're not doing something right. They're not helping a situation. For example, let's say a park ranger has someone and is getting ready to arrest them for driving under the influence inside the park.
Mm-hmm.
The person doesn't want to be arrested and they end up struggling. Someone that's a good Samaritan comes along with a concealed weapon, pulls it out, they have a permit, it's legal for them to have it. What's the ranger to do then? How do they know, is this person a friend of the person I'm arresting? Are they a threat to me? Are they coming to help me? What is it that I'm supposed to do now that this person has his or her weapon out? So that's one scenario that could happen where you'd have a confusion for a ranger on what it is they need to do to complete what they were doing to begin with safely.
So I think many people, when they heard this, they thought that the immediate concerns of park rangers would be their own security, whether they felt in danger. But that's not really the issue here, is it?
It's not for my organization, although there are other ranger organizations that reasoning is more highly thought of. But for us, it's more of a resources of the national park system and the threats to them that we're concerned about, because in our opinion, parks weren't created to be safer than you are on Main Street in your own community or in your own county. Although they are, the statistics bear that out by a wide margin, that's not why we created them. We created them to protect natural resources and historical resources so that current and future generations could enjoy them and know about them and the lessons that those things teach us. And that's what our primary purpose is to protect those things and processes in parks.
Now, the regulation, has it become law? It hasn't become law yet, has it? Has it?
No, President Obama has not signed it yet, but he's told everyone that he will sign it this weekend. And, you know, he put a lot of pressure on Congress because he wanted the credit card bill by Memorial Day, and he got it. It just came with this amendment attached.
Yeah, this was tacked onto it. So what recourse will you have between now and then? What recourse will you have after?
There is no recourse from Congress passing a law and the president signing it other than it being found unconstitutional by some federal court, which with such a high-profile case as this would have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. So there really is nothing that can be done about it once President Obama signs it. Now, the way Senator Coben wrote the law and the way it was passed, the language in it, in my opinion, would allow state legislatures, not federal government, but state legislatures to go back and individually say, we don't want people to possess weapons. Say a state doesn't allow people to possess weapons in their state parks, and I believe there are 24 states that don't allow people to possess weapons in their state parks. Say those legislatures go back and say, well, if we don't want them in our state parks, surely we don't want them within the national parks within our border. So they could go back and add that language to their state law, and then it would become, in fact, federal law by Senator Coburn's law. So states could take some action on an individual basis, but there's nothing to be done federally unless Congress could be talked into repealing this somehow at some future date.